my sound was all the way up, and I think I just blasted out an eardrum.
Did you? Is there a drum in there? Oh, blasted out an eardrum. I thought you said an airdrum. I was like, do we have drums in the back of that?
No, my ear. I almost went deaf. I'm not sure.
I'm
deaf, blind.
Dead. I'm already blind.
Yeah. I'm already deaf.
I'm already blind. And I'm like absolutely dumb. I'm like legit modern day Helen Keller. Like, unfortunately, it is me. She is I. I'm the real Helen Keller.
That makes sense, though, because I don't believe Helen Keller was a real human being. I think she
was. Me neither.
I think she was a product of fiction.
You're telling me she could not talk, hear, see any of that. And she's writing novels. She's flying planes. Oh, wait. I think that was Amelia Earhart. Never mind.
I think they did say she like flew a plane or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting out of hand.
Insane stuff. I'm sorry.
It's out of hand.
How can she do that? She cannot. What is she writing? What letters is she writing? Tell me that. How is she telling someone what letters to write in a novel?
How does she know an address?
How does she know anything? She can't hear or see.
Deaf, mute, and blind.
Like, come on. You're telling me, does she like rub her face on things, like in her hands, and like just guess?
So fucking expeditiously, for real. Because she was not. She was not for real. Okay? Anyway, welcome back.
I'm with you. Well, welcome back. I'm Caitlin. That's my gorgeous co-host, Spencer.
Thanks.
She washed her hair.
I did.
Can you tell?
I did. It's clean. Yes, we are so happy you're here. We're so happy to be here. And if you don't like when women talk, please don't let the browser hit you on the way out. Anyway.
Please click that X.
Click that X super duper fast.
But if you do like us, you should click the like button and the subscribe button instead. And maybe throw us a comment and be like, I don't hate women. That's always so good to hear.
We love when you guys say that. We love when you guys talk to us. We have so much fun talking to you. I love the people that actually watch our videos and understand what we're doing here and that we're never trying to blatantly argue with you. But if you're mean,
and
I will.
And you know what? Shout out to 90% of the comments last week. I had a lot of fun hearing people's ideas about
too.
Like SGA and other thoughts about Jokic and just the MVP conversation. And I feel like there was a lot of really good discourse without a ton of arguing. And I appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. With that
period,
being said,
period.
Caitlin and I don't have a ton of time to yippity yap about other things. So we're going to get right into the basketball of it all. Caitlin, I want to literally because this just happened. I want to talk, and you're in Phoenix, so I want to hear your thoughts.
Here I am.
Do you think that Jimmy Butler is going to Phoenix because he wore some interesting shoes in his game?
Okay, so let's start a few hours earlier than that. A few hours earlier than Jimmy Butler wearing these shoes. And if you don't know, you'll have to look him up or whatever. But yesterday morning,
I'll post a photo of the shoes.
You're amazing. Yesterday morning or like early afternoon, the Suns traded their 2031 first round pick. So that's 6 years out, 2031 first round pick, which is a very valuable pick, to the Utah Jazz for 3 first round picks. So like, first of all, you're like, that's a weird trade. No, it's not because they're getting ready for something bigger. Right. Okay. That's my thought.
Right.
And then, right. And then a few hours later, pictures of Jimmy Butler warming up for his game came out, and his shoes are absolutely like a Suns colorway. They have like the little sunset colors. Yeah. It's like the purple, orange, yellow, like everything. That's like the highlight of the shoe. They are shoes you would wear with a Suns jersey, like 1,000%. And so everyone's like, Jimothy, are you telling us something?
He's Helen Kellering us. He's communicating without saying a word.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the pics can be confusing. Basically, they freed up space to move things around. Okay. And I'm assuming this could be a multi-team trade deal. The pics that they have now, they're So the Suns will get the least favorable out of the picks that originally belonged to the Cavs and Timberwolves. So in 2027 and 2029, they will get the least favorable available pick between Cleveland, Minnesota, and Utah. Because at first I saw it, I was like, am I stupid?
What do you mean?
What do you mean they traded one pick for three?
Yeah, apparently that 2031 pick is like a very valuable pick.
Yeah, so the homies hooping in middle school, they got their eyes on you.
Get ready. That 2031 pick is for you.
I feel like it's always Utah. Utahs are the kings of being involved, because wasn't Russell, didn't he like first go to the Utah Jazz before coming to the Nuggets? And I was like, what happened?
Yeah.
So anyway, Utah is always part of the mix, because I'm convinced that Utah is not real and they're just like in the NBA for funsies.
I think so. That's for real. And and with that too. And so part of the whole Jimmy Butler thing, I was just thinking about this, is that Bradley Beal, he's been talking about different teams that he would trade waive his no trade clause for. And, there was the Nuggets, the Heat,
originally.
The Lakers. Yeah.
But I don't know if he meant the Heat without Jimmy Butler.
Right? Literally. Well, and so after all that, now he's saying that he would waive his no trade clause for the Bucks. And now there's talk about a four-team trade involving the Bucks. And so I'm wondering if Bradley Beal goes to the Bucks, Jimmy Butler comes to the Suns, Miami gets a few people from the Bucks or something. And then who's the fourth team? I have no idea.
Yeah, Nurkic is out. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is that I don't know if I sound dumb here, but I think the Phoenix Suns office might be one of the worst. Because what do you mean, Caitlin? What do you mean to tell me that the Phoenix Suns sat back and said, okay, we have some problems. We need to address it. You know what we need? We need one more aging out star that's injury prone to add to the list. And now we're contenders. Because what?
We're going to throw them on top of our other injury prone super big three team.
Super Jimmy team. Butler's not as injury prone, obviously, as KD and Bradley Beal have been. But he's he's old. He's 36, besties.
Yep.
And so are you going to give your whole lives away to have you now have two stars in KD and Jimmy Butler that you're not going to know what to do with probably in the next 2 years? Yeah. I don't understand.
And I just feel how does that work? I feel like KD and Devin Booker and Jimmy Butler, all these guys are very ball dominant guys. And of course they have Tyus Jones, who is mainly their facilitator, their court manager, their floor manager, someone who's really just making stuff happen for the other guys. But you have a lot of very ball dominant guys on the same team. And so really, how does that help? How does that help adding another older guy who's kind of slowing down, but who also kind of wants to be the big dog and also wants to win? And you put him next to several other guys that also want to be the big dog and are also, I don't know how he fits in Phoenix.
Well,
I don't know.
We're not really addressing the problems, because if any of you watched our episodes from the off season, first of all, I would like to say a big F you to anyone who likes to say that we don't know ball, because all of your favorite people, Kevin Garnett's over here saying that the Phoenix Suns were contenders in the first week of the NBA. Caitlin and I have said they were going to suck since day one,
since the dawn of time.
since Vietnam, okay?
Literally.
Because
since the
I
war.
Knew they didn't have defense. First of all, your guys yep. are always super injured. I mean, like, how many times do we have to say it? Like, someone's out always. And yep, then
24/7.
You don't have a real center. You don't have a real rim protector. And then you went the whole first half of the season switching out, benching your centers, as Caitlin and I said would happen, because neither of them are good. And now, to solve the problem, you're going to, again, add more offensive output.
They just traded for the center, right? They just got Nick Richards from the Hornets. But so what I was going to say is he had such a good debut. He had 21, 11 and one assist, 21 points, 11 rebounds, one assist and one steal. He had a great game against in their win against the Pistons. And then yesterday they played Cleveland and he had 4 points, 4 rebounds and 2 blocks in 22 minutes of playing. And so I'm like, I really hope that is I hope he's more consistently his first game with the Suns and not his second game with the Suns. Because if he's consistently that 4-4 and 2 blocks guy, you have Nurkic, Plumlee, and Nick Richards, who are literally just 3 shades of asshole. Literally just 3 shades of ass.
And
who do you put in?
And Nick Richards is a Kentucky guy. But the thing is you want to be a contender, but you traded for a guy who has literally zero experience lately. Charlotte Hornets haven't done anything. They're not used to winning. They don't have that mindset mentality. I could be wrong about him. But I don't think he really moves the needle, you know?
Yeah. It's hard because he's great on a team like the Hornets, averaging a double-double on a team like the Hornets. But that's because, you are unfortunately much less of a competitive team. You're on a way less competitive team with less competitive guys. This is the NBA. They're all competitive. But you are on a worse team with, statistically a worse starting five. So you are going to be putting up a little bit bigger numbers. But you throw someone like that next to a guy like KD, a guy like Devin Booker, who's playing really well, a really, really great talent like Tyus Jones, who's a fantastic point guard. And maybe he doesn't know how to work with a system like that. And so hopefully it's one of those things where we find him kind of settling in. But if not, the Phoenix Suns are they're literally throwing things out and throwing things in and just hoping for the best. Literally at this point, it's a snack mix. I don't know what's happening.
I really don't know what Jimmy Butler does for them. I don't know. I can't see it being much of an improvement. And then what happens when he gets hurt? Now you're out. Now you have
everyone's hurt.
They're all hurt. So I just thought, out of all the people you're trying to acquire, okay, because you have issues, you're 36-year-old Jimmy Butler
looking pretty good. Send him over.
I don't know. I mean, even when they were joking about Jimmy Butler coming to the Nuggets, I was I don't want Jimmy Butler. Okay. I don't need Jimmy Butler, nor do I want him. I just feel
I'm with ya. I don't think he solves their problem. I feel like the teams whose current problems are kind of I don't know, age in a way, and not that, I don't know. I'm thinking of guys like the Warriors and teams that are just generally getting older and guys are on their way out. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, all those guys that we talk about all the time. At this point, really, and you know what? This is a shout out to LeBron for still being the head honcho. A lot of the times, you're supposed to be doing a little bit less at this age. Your team's hope should be that you have a guy that's 26 now, 27 now, that's kind of able to take over and lead your team and kind of let you sit back, still start, do your thing. But you're not so much in the driver's seat having to put up 40 and 15 and 5 every single game. You should hope that someone else is putting up the big numbers.
Something's going to tear.
And I mean, obviously that's Devin Booker. I will say that. Devin Booker is that guy on the Suns and everything like that. But again, sometimes. Most of the time these days, I feel like he's had like a really good showing since his injury, or like since he got back from his injury. But other than that, like, yeah, I don't know. A lot of these trades are really weird. And I feel like these next 2 weeks are going to be a little bit crazy with the trade deadline. Some people thought that nothing was going to happen and it still could not happen. I think it's going to be a little crazy.
I mean, Jimmy Butler, in my opinion, is definitely going to be moved. And like, I'm just assuming it's the Phoenix Suns because like no one else is really talking about getting him at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems a little odd. I'm like, is Cam Johnson being moved or not?
I know they kept like, he's being shopped. Maybe he's not. He's being looked at by X teams.
I think if the Nuggets had just, literally like, anything to give, we would have got him. But we have literally nothing. So meanwhile, you have, you know, the top two teams in the NBA that are like, maybe we'll get him. Because, yeah, that's exactly what you need. More!
Sure. You and your freaking 20-person perfect roster with 50 different lineups that are all good. Sure. Add another good player.
Greedy bitches. That's what you are. Greedy. Okay.
I'm greed. Mad.
Yeah. Greed is one of the, what is it? The seven sin or what is it? Yeah.
The seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins. Greed's one of them.
So is hunger or whatever that is. I'm a sinner.
I'm looking at you, Oklahoma City.
Greed. Greedy.
Greed. Anyway,
must be nice having your 25 first round picks and your perfect squad that plays really well. I'm fine. It's fine.
Look at me. My front office is capable. Look at me. My front office knows what they're doing. Look at me. I got Shai Gilgeous from the Clippers for nothing.
For literally a fucking sneeze in a bag of chips.
Yeah, literally. Congrats. Good for you.
Must be nice.
Good for you!
I know, I'm so pissed off. I was thinking about this with like the trades too, and when we were talking about freaking front offices, and I started thinking about the Warriors again, because we talked about this a little bit, and like what, 2 weeks ago? Wait, a week ago? I don't know. And did we talk about the whole Steph Curry and a stupid Twitter fingers comment and stuff like that?
On Friday,
and
I was
like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's talking literally straight to me. Okay. Well, I just think it's funny now because like all the Warriors fans are like, oh, you're so right. We'll keep our hands out of it. You got it. You're right. Like totally just kind of like effing around with him. And now they've lost like a bunch of games since then. And then he's like, he's doing his post-game interviews and he's like, you know, we just get like really defeated. Like once we start like missing shots, we get really defeated and then we kind of lose competitiveness and we, you know, and then he's like all sad again at the podium, right? And so Warriors fans are like, don't worry, Steph, you got it. Us Twitter fingers, we'll stay out of it. You got it. You'll be fine. We don't care. We have nothing to say. We don't want anything. Us Twitter fingers don't want anything to be better.
Yeah, I think the main issue with the Warriors is just like the literal absence of any offensive output besides Steph Curry. And it's the way that they have not been scoring even 100 points in like multiple games, which is pretty damn hard to do in this NBA in time.
I'm having so much fun. It hurts.
So then you have a couple guys out. But they're not even offensive outputters when they're in.
Well, so thankfully, like, JK is. Jonathan Kuminga is like at Kuminga least a is, little yeah, sorry. Bit.
But like Pajemski isn't. Yeah. He's not there to get you 25 points.
Yeah.
It's
just really fun. It's so good.
Is it? Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm having lots of fun. They're actually currently 11th in the West, and I really just don't think that they're going to make anything. And, like, again, they're still talking about, we're fine with our roster as is. No, but then they're like, but no one ever said we weren't going to make another trade. We just want to keep our assets. I'm like, what does that mean then? What does that mean then?
I don't know.
What are you going to trade? Your left leg? What are you going to trade?
Anybody? Bueller?
Nothing, because they suck at basketball. And I will cry for the rest of my life about it.
Yeah, I don't know how you're watching those games right now, because I sure am not.
Oh my God. It was a super, super quick comment before we move on, but it was really funny. Steve Kerr, they were asking him like if he watched the inauguration or whatever. And he was like, no, I chose to watch Celtics tape instead. And I was like, apparently you didn't watch enough, because if you don't know, we just got our is kicked by 40 by the Celtics.
Did you watch what was the tape from the 1990s, Steve?
I literally
tape
was like,
did you put in?
I was like, were you just like re-watching the 2022 championship run to relive your glory days? That's over with, honey. We're bad at basketball now. Different tape. Checkmate, Wrong. Turn it around.
They're having a time over there in Golden State. But you know who is ass and is doing much, much better is the Sacramento Kings, which we talked about a little bit last week, I think, or the week before. But they're like doing really well. They just beat the Houston Rockets. Sacramento Kings are 9-1 since the firing of poor Mike Brown.
Doug Christie did lose the game. I think I've mentioned this before. They did lose the game that Mike, like the day that Mike Brown got fired or whatever. But after that, they're
I'm
9-1.
I'm not counting
that. Yeah. Anyone would lose that game.
8 of their last 9. And we talked about this a little bit on how just like, I think obviously like once a head coach is like fired, it switches a lot of things up because, you know, an assistant head coach or like an assistant coach that becomes the head coach is obviously going to have like his own ideas and his own lineups that he's, you know, wanted to do. And it's working clearly. And I feel really bad because it's not like, of course, everyone's blaming Mike Brown, but like you weren't blaming him when they were at the top of the West
when
like
they
a
were
few
winning.
Years ago. And he was when they were like the third seed and he was coach of the year. Okay. Relax.
Yep. Period.
So I feel really bad, but clearly like, I mean, I think about this all the time that, you know, you have guys that people just don't play. And even on the Nuggets, you have we had Isaiah Hartenstein. We had, you know, JaVale McGee. Like we've had all these people that you would have thought suck. And then they get to another program where they're used differently. Even Russell Westbrook coming to the Nuggets.
Players are misused so often.
And so the way that he's gotten Keon Ellis going and, you know, with Malik Monk and everyone. And like, to be fair, they just had to have had like a horrible stretch too, because the talent they have on that team is absurd. Like we all assumed they were going to be, you know, between the 5th and the 7th seed. Again, I always feel bad for them because I feel like they have such good talent, but I feel like they're never making enough moves to get to the top.
Yeah.
But they're still a playoff team. You have DeMontis Sabonis, who is shooting the lights out
monster.
This year.
He's a monster. Yeah.
He's now overtaken Jokic for the for 3-point percentage. If you would have told me like
that's disrespectful.
Like 5 or 6 years ago though, that two centers were like leading in 3-point, and then you have like Wemby chucking up 17 threes a game. Yeah, it's honestly hilarious. But so DeMontis Sabonis, you know, double king, you know, how he gets those, we don't need to talk about.
Double king. But, get it, because he plays for the Kings.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that's
so
funny.
You know, so he's, you know, obviously insane. De'Aaron Fox, wonderful. Malik Monk's great. DeMar DeRozan, you know, iconic. So you have all these.
I feel like, and I feel like DeMar DeRozan is really kind of finding himself in that team. And that's kind of what I was wondering, is I wonder if maybe the way that Mike Brown was coaching was not, what's the word I'm looking for? Was not going to be making their team successful in a sense of like, utilizing a team that has De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, and DeMontis Sabonis on the same team. They're three very ball-dominant guys. They all can facilitate. They all can kind of, like, do their own thing, and they all have their different ways of doing it. And maybe Mike Brown just didn't, like, do that. Because I feel like ever since then, too, like, I feel like DeMar DeRozan, after Mike Brown got fired, has been kind of, like, finding his place comfortably in there. And kind of just like as a shooter, as a defender, as not so much as a facilitator, like a little bit more off ball for him.
Well, their spacing has just improved so much because now you have all these 3-point threats. You have got Keon Ellis back there, who's, you know, a 3-and-D guy. You have Keegan Murray, who's gotten a little bit more of his rhythm back. Malik Monk, you know, De'Aaron Fox, and Domantas Sabonis, who, again, is leading the league now in 3-point percentage. So they're creating so much better spacing because now you have all these people you need to guard, and it's opening up the paint to go in like that.
For Domantas Sabonis.
Exactly. And that's kind of what happened like against the Rockets the other day when they won, you know, and they took it to overtime. But they've just, I think they've started to figure some things out and figure out how to play better together and figure out, you know, how to not call each other's number more and or their own number and play for each other. It seems like because once you start winning, then you're obviously in better, you know, things are starting to fall apart. Like when you're losing 4 in a row at home and stuff like that.
The vibes are down.
The vibes are down.
Start losing games like that.
So I think it's just clear that like Doug Christie clearly has just like a really good sense of the team and a sense of how they play and really did like a much better job at getting, you know, Malik Monk has always been involved, but I don't know. I think he's utilized him way better. And especially Keon Ellis, who wasn't getting to play. He's just such a good 3-and-D guy. I'm still mad that the Nuggets have literally nothing but like our joy and prosperity to offer for a trade.
Generally. Yeah. and I think like the thing about the Kings is too, is that like, they've been playing such like way better, just like team basketball. Like everyone is involved now, as opposed to at the beginning of the season. Like I said, it literally was three ball dominant guys. The only people that were doing anything were De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, and DeMar DeRozan. Those were the only people like getting shots, getting assists, just like between the three of them. Like no one else was involved, it felt like. And now, like you said, you have guys like Keon Ellis involved. Malik Monk is back and healthy, and he's all sorts of involved, literally all over the place. You have Keegan Murray, and you have all these other guys. Poor Kevin Huerter will never get a shot back. My guy shot 16% last game, and it was tragic. But, like, you know, they're trying to get him involved, obviously. I mean, you know, shooting 16%, it means that he was out there at least getting 6 shots up, which in recent times that hasn't happened. And he used to be such a good shooter. So I think they're just trying to get him going. But you just have this team that now plays full team basketball. And when you're playing full team basketball and you're playing for each other and not for yourself, and you're kind of playing a little bit more selflessly and a little bit more free flowing now that you don't just have 3 guys that are kind of thinking that they're the leader, that they're the floor manager, you know, like whatever. They are now playing for the rest of the guys as well. And I think you can really tell that you have several guys every game, like 5 to 6 guys every game, putting up double figure points. And that's really important.
Well, and there's a list came out basically, I think like the top 10, or there's like a list of teammates who have 50 assists at least to each other this season, like back and forth. So that's Nikola Jokic is on there twice, with Nikola Jokic to Jamal and Nikola Jokic to Russell Westbrook. But then you also have on there Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk, which is really interesting because, you know, it's not Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron, it's Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk. So clearly they've been running a lot of that like two-man seeking each other out, which you love to see. So I'm actually really excited because they were just doing so bad, and I kind of had empathy for them just because I know they're not really a threat to the Nuggets. But
it's funny because like I think Domantas Sabonis to Malik Monk makes so much sense because, you know, guys are guarding De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan like crazy. And so they're kind of using their magnet, you know, defenders are going to be closing out on guys like DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox and watching them. And then you have Domantas Sabonis in the paint, and all he has to do is kick it out to Malik Monk on the corner, and he's going to be open probably 75% of the time. So like, to me, like that totally makes sense because he's like the guy that everyone's like, oh, he's the guy that we can leave open. We're going to double these 3 or 4 other guys over here. And then you just hit Malik Monk on the corner all day. All day.
Oh, my God. Moving on, I want to talk about the Pistons. Because they're another team that was really shitty, but they were shitty for a whole year. And now they might make the freaking playoffs.
Bada bing, bada boom, baby. Pew, 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 pew. The Pistons are not to be messed with. People need to remember the Pistons are not the Pistons of old. They are the Pistons of new. They are not the 2023-2024 Pistons. They are the 2024-2025
Pistons. Mm-hmm. And they can wreck your life because you know what they did?
Wreck your life.
After the annoying Houston Rockets, who I have no faith in because I'm a hater.
That's valid.
And they beat us when we didn't have Jokic or AG, and I took that personally. But
same.
But the Rockets lost the Kings and then proceeded to lose to our friends,
the Pistons,
Mr. Cade Cunningham. And I think, if I'm not wrong, that they have the youngest core between like Cade and Asar. They have Asar, right? Amen is Houston, yes?
Yes, Amen is Houston, and I thought we were talking about the Rockets, and so we were just talking about the Rockets and the Pistons, and I was like, which team? Because the brothers are on those teams.
Yeah, Amen the Pistons, is, I think, have the Houston. Youngest core.
Yes. Yes, and what's it called? The Jazz have, like, the second youngest. They have won 11 out of their last 15 and are now above 500. They are 22-21, or at least they were a couple of days ago. These were my notes from a couple of days ago. But they beat, not only did they beat the Rockets.
They haven't played
since
then. Yeah, they're still 22-21.
Perfect. Yeah. And I was like, not only did they beat the Rockets by 11 in Houston, 107-96. Holding that Rockets team to under 100 points is very impressive. These are guys that score like 108-120 every single game. Keeping them to 96 is insane.
And as a team that, you know, is not supposedly one of the best, the Rockets have been upsetting the heck out of teams, okay? Because they are so active on defense. They, you know.
Oh, are you talking about the Pistons or the Rockets?
The Rockets. Like, I'm just saying that the Pistons beat them.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Because the Rockets are so active on defense and they're always getting their hands in there. So for them to outscore them and to win by 11, like, it wasn't even, like, a last-minute shot.
Yep. I know. Yeah. It's like they, like, comfortably beat them in Houston. I mean, Jalen Duren, who has been fantastic, he had a 16-14 double-double with 3 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks, and he shot 100%. He literally had a perfect game besides a couple of turnovers. That's insane.
Damn.
Yeah, that's very impressive. And Cade, I will say this, though, because poor Cade, he had an incredible game as well. He was 32, 9-7 with 1 block, 1 steal, 12 for 22, 54% shooting. The 10 turnovers?
Yeah.
10 turnovers!
To be fair, that's what the Rockets
do. I know. That is their whole thing. The Rockets are like turnover machines. They can create turnovers consistently.
Like nobody else. And it's so annoying. I think like when we played them, there were, I think Jamal had like 5. Russell had like 5. Like, I think like, everyone had hella turnovers.
Just imagine like the freaking peskiest, most quick athletic MF-er you can think of. And then just imagine them guarding you for literally 40 minutes. That's like their whole team. Like, besides Şengün. Like, literally, their 4 besides Şengün are, like, these quick feet, quick hand guys who literally just pickpocket you all day. Doesn't matter. They all got you. Doesn't matter.
And it's so annoying. They're just
so... It's so annoying.
Again, someone laughed at me because I called the Thunder tryhards on defense, but, like, in a good, like a good way. Because, like, you want to try hard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and Rockets are the same way. Like, they're just tryhards. Like, give us a freaking break, okay? Like, we get it.
Yeah, can you step back literally one whole foot for me for, like, 10 seconds? You don't need to be all up in my grill.
Can I breathe? I will say, though, Cade Cunningham has been an absolute monster. And that's going to be my one critique with him. He did have 7 turnovers the other day, too, against the Pacers. Yeah. So, but again, Cade is, like, running everything. You know, you have a ton of young guys. He's running the entire offense, basically. Like, he's playing, like, hey, we need you to score 30, but we also need you to facilitate so we can score because we need your help. So he's been doing incredible, you know, against Houston, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Against Phoenix, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists. The other day against, it's Toronto, so like it's not that big of a deal, but he had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 17 assists. So of course when you're passing that
17
much.
17 assists, incredible.
Like, I don't think it's always him. Like, I do think sometimes it ends up being like the teammates. Again, you're young. So it's like, I think it's a combination of him passing so much because he's like so high usage. And then also sometimes some butterfingers on the other end.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say is like the higher usage player, like the higher the usage of player that you are likely to have more turnovers. And with and him, like,
the more that you're dominating the ball and, you know, facilitating, that's just how it's going to happen.
Yes. But yeah, 7 and 10 are still very high numbers. Like, you know, I expect 2, 3, 4 from someone that has as high a usage as him. But 10 and 7, Kate, take care of the ball, my dear.
Yeah, take care of the ball. Your teammates need to take care of the ball as well. And then
They are competitors.
And that's how they were dogs last year. Like, they were fighting. And I think a lot of it, too, is because, like, they're so young. You know, you're not old and tired and, like, you know.
True.
Like, who cares? Yeah. Who cares if we lose?
Give us our nap.
Yeah, literally. So it's been so fun to watch, and especially because you had Asar and Amen Thompson, and then I wanted to get all sad because I, like, know that, like, twins, like, literally spend every waking second together, and so I can't imagine having a twin, and then we just go to different NBA teams, and, like, that's it? Like, I don't see you every day?
I bet you they FaceTime.
Oh, they have to, but it was funny because they were asking if, like, they missed each other. Well, I think the, like, NBA media person or maybe the Pistons media person was like, oh, do you guys miss each other? And, like, nah. And I was like, you guys miss each other. But I guess, like, the benches were kind of, like, jeering, like, saying you're not the real AT because they're both Amen and Asar.
I'm dead.
So they were like, we got the real AT. So
love that.
It was such a cute moment, and I'm just so happy for the Pistons.
Me too. I love all the sibling matchups. That's what I was going to say. I just love it.
They've become, like, one of my favorite teams to watch and, like, root for this year just because they were so bad, and I felt so bad because I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, everyone gets, like, going to their job and hating it. I mean, not all of us get paid, like, $20 million to do so, but I can understand. I'm a competitive girl that if I were on a team that was losing every day, I would crash out every day. So I'm also just, I'm just really excited for them. And I worry about them if they're, like, in the play-in to make it into the playoffs, but I would love if they, like, get above the play-in and don't, and they just, like, get that, like, first round experience. Like, they're obviously not expecting to go far, but I think that they, like, have a shot this year, especially with how absolutely utterly disastrous the rest of the Eastern Conference is.
That's what I was gonna say, is that, like, the only thing that, like, kind of makes me think that, like, they really do have a chance is looking at the other play-in teams in the East. I'm like, you've got what? The Hawks, the Bulls, and there's one other team. Sorry, I'm gonna pull it up real quick.
Which I think the Hawks will elevate. I think the Hawks will definitely make it to the above the play-in.
The Pistons are currently 7th. I thought they were 9th. I love that. This is great. Okay, sorry. The Hawks are currently 6th even. Pistons are 7th. Magic are 8th. Heat are 9th. And then the Bulls are 10th. And so I feel like with those teams, I mean, the Heat and Magic are probably going to be, like, their biggest competition. But, like, if they have to go up against the Bulls or the Hawks or even something like the Pacers, I feel like those are teams that they can beat. They've shown that they can compete against any team and that they can beat good teams. And so it's just give them the day and the time.
Listen, I'm one of those people, I don't want to see the Heat in the play-in because, like, the Heat are always going to come for a one-off. Like,
that's what I was going to say, is they'll beat you in the play-in, like, and then lose first round.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't want to see, if I'm the Pistons, I don't want to see the Heat in the play-in. I mean, they just have, like, that tried and true coach, like, Eric Spoelstra is just, like, one of the best. So I wouldn't want to see them, you know. If they get rid of Jimmy Butler, though, I don't know, like, much more what they're going to have to deal with. So, like, I think that's promising that they might not even make the play-in. Who knows? We can continue talking about terrible Eastern Conference teams just because the Nuggets played the 76ers last night, and boy, do the 76ers look bad?
Look, they are bad.
Real bad. Real bad.
And I like, you know, and it makes me sad because, and I will say this because at the beginning, stop. Don't look at me like that. Gosh.
I was never just feel bad about the 76ers.
Like, I was just talking more so like I was really enjoying like guys like Jared McCain and kind of seeing he's like the only one I feel bad success. For. Yeah. And I mean, like, generally, I like Tyrese Maxey, too. I love seeing Yabusele. I think that, watching him succeed on just an NBA team in general after watching him in the Olympics makes me really happy. Mr. He got a donk. Okay. Jealous. Sorry. That's all I got to say. But I don't feel bad for them after that. You know, they're bad. You know, I love guys like Jared McCain. I love a few guys on their team and they're just like so sweet. But their fans make it really easy to be mad at them. Sorry if you're 76ers.
If you didn't get a chance to watch the game, all I have to say is that MPJ was locking up Paul George, and I think that's kind of like need I say more? I feel really bad because they looked like a JV like high school team that they brought from Philly. Yeah. And we're like, hey, like, you guys are the 76ers tonight. Like, don't tell anyone. And what's even funnier is, like, so apparently the Nuggets media, like, podium is, it shares a wall with the visitors' locker room. So they were talking about how last night, how sometimes, like, or how if a team loses, like, in the past or whatever, or our team, sorry, if the Nuggets lose, then the visiting locker room, you know, sometimes they'll have music or sometimes they'll be, like, yelling and, you know, just being obnoxious. Yeah. But obviously the 76ers got blown out by like 30. Like the game was garbage time and midway through the third quarter. That's how bad it was. And they said that they literally heard like the most extreme like profanity and yelling like from the 76ers locker room. And I was like, I texted Caitlin and I was like, I wonder why. Like they did so good.
Gasp.
They had a great game. So I don't think all is well in Philly unless you're an Eagles fan. So at least
they're
doing okay. Do you think like Joel Embiid's like done? Like I'm not talking about him not playing in Denver. I'm like, because his injury is the same injury since before the offseason in the Olympics. So I'm like,
well, it's the same injury. Is it ever going to improve? For like a decade. Ever. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's funny because this is why I made the comment about Philly or wow. Hello. Words are hard. This is why I made the comment about Philly fans, because I was joking around yesterday. I know that Joel Embiid has been hurt for a couple of weeks with a totally different injury. Okay. And I said quack because he wasn't going to be playing in Denver and he hasn't played in Denver in over 5 years.
It's still
years.
A quack. It's just a joke. Duh.
Exactly. Yes. I'm like, I'm just joking around. Like it's, you know, this is his fifth year straight where he's missing the Denver game. Okay. Like the game in Denver. And so I was like, quack. And people are like, you know, he's actually injured, right? And I was like,
he's always injured.
And I was just like, and they were like getting so butthurt about it. But I'm like, you don't understand that, like, because people are like, he hasn't even played for 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, Let's regroup here. Are you ready for this? He had a foot sprain 2.5 weeks ago. Foot sprain. As of 2 games ago, they said the foot sprain has healed and is better. Okay? And so for this game against the Denver Nuggets, it was knee injury management. That is why he was out. Okay? So he's ready to play now. His foot is totally fine. This is knee injury management because of the swelling in his knee again.
That has been present forever.
Forever. And it's something that he always plays with anyway. And like, you know, like it frustrates me because like people are like, well, why does it matter so much to you guys? And I'm like, why don't Denver fans deserve to watch this Jokic, Joel Embiid like face off? It's a fun competitive matchup. Why do deserve to watch that?
DNVR literally interviewed people last night and they were talking like they were interviewing Philly fans at the stadium too. And they're like, as a Philly fan, like it's disappointing. Like, of course we want to see that. Like as a Philly fan in Denver, but as a Denver fan in Denver, I want to see that. Like, I want to see two good centers competing. So I'm sorry that it's annoying that he hasn't played since literally, I don't, like, Kim and Kanye were probably still married.
Since
I don't know.
The plague.
Yeah. So it's just a little silly.
It is. It's frustrating. And they literally were like, you're coming up with conspiracy theories. And I was like, I bet you literally $20 that he plays the game against Denver in Philly next week. I bet you any money. I will literally put $1 billion into your hand that he will be playing that game.
No, if he does, I'll actually be pissed off. Like, if he sits that one, fine. If he plays that one, I will crash out on the timeline. Okay?
Because that's, it's just like, it's so frustrating. Annoying. The only Denver matchup in Philly that he's missed was like a few years ago, and it was in the middle of a like long-term him being out for an injury. But like every other matchup against Denver in Philly, he's showed up to. Every other matchup in Denver, he literally has some one-off injury day, like injury management day every time. Why do we not deserve to see
what
that?
The most frustrating was last year is Joel Embiid was... Everyone thought he was playing. He was not on the injury report, even though
and like 10 minutes had before.
Even though he had missed a couple games the week before. So it would have been understandable if he had been questionable or something like that. It's the fact that he wasn't on the injury report at all. And then after warmups decided that he wasn't going to end up playing. And it's like, that's annoying because all these people bought tickets thinking, wow, I haven't seen Joel Embiid in Denver in 4 years or whatever it was last year. And then he scratches, like, even the people I felt bad at the Houston game because Jokic was a last minute scratch. And, like, you never know who traveled here or was here for, you know, one night
only.
Who
traveled to see these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just always feel bad. And, like, I would hate to be a Philly fan right now. But I'm not going to talk about them for 30 minutes like I usually do. But I did want to highlight how well the Denver Nuggets are playing because the Denver Nuggets are on a FN roll, baby. I think we're 10 of our last 13, if I'm correct. Jokic for the last 3 games in a row, but he was out the Houston game. The games he's played, I believe, 4 straight triple doubles and 4 games not having even touched the court in the fourth.
He didn't smell it.
Didn't even see it. He couldn't hear, see, or taste the fourth quarter, besties. And a lot of this can be attributed to, because it was really funny, I was laughing at all of our friends on Twitter that aren't Nuggets fans, like that are fans of other teams, but watch. And someone was like, your bench is like, looked really good. That's because Aaron Gordon's coming off the bench. Yes, that is in fact because we have a starter on the bench, which
he's doing great out there with them.
We love Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is literally, I think, one of the most selfless, you know, players ever. I talk about this a lot, but he came from the Orlando Magic, who being the guy for Orlando Magic, and came to be a role player on Denver and has fit into that role so beautifully. And even this year, just with the spacing and like lack thereof, thanks to KCP being gone, he hasn't been able to do what he usually does, which is, you know, hang out in the dunker spot and cut for those, you know, finale oops and all those insane passes from Jokic. And I've really missed that game since coming back and riding with the bench unit. I've seen a lot more dunks, a lot more from when Jokic is riding with them as well. And it's been so good, especially just because we need Russ to start, because Russ is the one that's feeding Nikola Jokic like no one ever has before.
Like, kind of like the pacemaker too. Like he starts the game on a high.
Sets the tone. Totally. Sets the energy. And it's so, again, like you can't split up him and Jokic just because, again, they're one of the people that are the 50 assists. And then
we're 17-5 now with Russ as a starter, I think, after last night.
Yeah, maybe even 18-5.
We were 16-5 last game, and then we played again yesterday. So I think we're like 17-5 or something like that with him as a starter.
And then Russ, you know, gets the ball up quicker. He sets the pace, and he waits for you. Jokic talked about it last night. He was like, he's a little bit faster than me, so he just waits for me to get to my spot. But it was so funny. He said, he just waits for me to get to my spot. And I just...
It's just Russ there just dribbling and you just see Jokic jog by. It's so good.
And it's allowing Jamal to play a little more two guard. So it's taking a little bit more pressure off of Jamal when, you know, he's with the starters. He gets to play a little more like catch and shoot. And again, that like two-man game between Russ and Jokic has been some of the funnest basketball I've watched this year. And
it is.
It's allowing the offense to get going so quickly because Jokic is having someone just feed him. And like, he's just able to like cherry pick and literally just feeding him straight dimes. So we're getting up so high that he's just like, well, I'll just get a triple double in the third and then I can
easy,
sit down.
Easy. And yeah, well, and it helps so much too, because then you have guys like you said about like Jamal or whatever. Jamal just can kind of be like a catch and shoot guy. I feel like Jamal is like comfortably a two. I feel like this makes sense for him right now, is him being a two. And so you have then MPJ and Jamal, who now just get to like sit on the wings and just like wait for open looks or whatever. Because like, if Russ passes it down to Jokic and Jokic is getting double, triple, or quadruple teamed like yesterday and always, that leaves seven freaking dudes open. I say seven. Guys, I know that there are only five people per team on a court. Okay. I'm just joking. But, you know, that leaves literally four other guys open.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is kick it out. And you have guys like Jamal Murray and, you know, CB and Russ and MPJ that are all just ready.
Well, that's so nice because Jokic and Jamal and Russell have been so active lately in getting their hands and picking pockets. And, you know, Christian Brown is one of literally the top leaders in fast break points. And they made a good point in the national TV last night, is that it's because he actually takes it to the rim and doesn't pull up for, you know, a spot up three. And I'm like, oh my God, they're so right. And so CB has been doing great at that. And just like anticipating, he, you know, will run with Jokic just to try and like clean up sometimes. Mike has been doing a lot of that. Mike is not just sitting on the wings anymore. Mike literally, I think, had four cleanups last night where he just came up, that ball didn't go in, and he just, you know, popped it right
rebounded
back in.
Rebounded it and put it back in,
Such team vibes going on. Earlier in the year, I was so sad, and I remember I was like with Caitlin, I think, in the kind of like first couple weeks of the season. It felt like everyone was like a little unhappy. I don't know. It felt wrong. Like
everyone
people weren't playing
sad
for each other.
Yeah.
And now it looks like, you know, and if Russ gets a turnover, because that's still like his major issue, he goes and gets it back half the time. He literally is like, ah,
sprints
shit.
Right on after.
And we'll try to get it back. He said, oh,
that's mine.
My bad. And so it's just been so amazing to see. And I think like Russ has just helped create that offensive for Jokic to not have to do everything himself almost.
Yeah.
And it's like Jokic can pass to everyone else and Russ passes to Jokic. And I'm like,
it's
this
so
is so,
good.
It's so good.
Well, I was just talking about AG next. Oh yeah. I'll give you your time. Don't you worry. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But I was just going to say like about like the whole, about like the whole like pickpockety type thing. Like you just have so many guys on the team right now that are able to, you know, cause these deflections and pickpocket guys and cause
be
these
annoying
turnovers.
Pest.
And yes, and the nice part with CB, what you were talking about with like, you know, him being first in fast break points is because he's that guy that like, he can be everywhere. Not only is he tall, but he's fast and he's a great, like calm type of finisher. And so he's the kind of guy where like, you know, Russ gets the ball, Russ gets a steal, and you have CB who's already literally in transition, sprinting down the court. All Russ has to do is pass it up, catch
Russ
it.
Or
CB's
Jokic,
already right
and
there.
And CB's usually like the first one down.
He's
and
already
it's
down there. Yes, they're beautiful in transition because of that. Like, I feel like the Nuggets in transition, everyone kind of has like their own job. And everyone knows what that job is. You know, like Jokic is normally just like the guy in the back that's like jogging back. That's like, if you don't get this, I'll be ready to set offense back up.
Exactly.
Or like, I'll be ready to go back on defense. And then you have the other guys that are following behind CB, like ready to get the rebound, ready to put back, you know, whatever it may be. And it's just so good.
My favorite is when Jokic gets it and like throws it all the way down and like sees the CB's just going to dunk it. So he just stays. He's like, I'm just going to stay here since you guys are coming back this way anyway.
I'll be ready for defense.
But I did just want to keep shouting out Aaron Gordon because I love him. And a lot of people were asking, why is he coming off the bench? And he did this kind of earlier in the year when he came off an injury. He is on minutes restriction, but he told Coach Malone that he doesn't care to come off the bench. Like Coach Malone checked in with him. He's like, even when I'm fully healthy, like, I don't care. Like, he's like, it's working. Like, you know,
he just wants to win.
He just wants to win. And I'm like, what do you mean you're okay with coming off the bench? Because that's so nice.
Egoless superstar. I know he's not like a superstar, but like he is on the Nuggets.
Everyone knows Nuggets, who Aaron Gordon is. Like
exactly. And he's just like, but you know, having guys like that that are able to be ego. I'm fine.
It's okay. I'm fine.
I love egoless stars though, because like that's the stuff that made me really mad about Klay Thompson on his last year with the Warriors. Yeah. Was that like they benched him as they should have. He was ass. And they benched him and he was so pissed off about it. And he was pouting and he had just like such a big ego about it. And that like they eventually put him back in the starting lineup and he was still playing like crap. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like a lot of the times you have to earn that starting spot. And sometimes like putting Jordan Poole, you know, Jordan Poole came off the bench for the Wizards last year and he's supposed to be like their starting point guard. He came off the bench for the Wizards last year to lead the second unit. And it really helped the team start playing better and get a couple of wins when they weren't winning anything. And so to have AG be like, I'm totally fine coming off the bench. It's working. We're winning. Like I'm helping these guys. He's been such a leader with the young guys on the court, like working with that second unit.
Well, it's finally not a disaster.
They play so well around him.
Mm-hmm. The bench is finally not a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, because you have AG who can play like kind of that five role and he's such like a big body, like what you, mm-hmm. you know, so he, and then you have like DJ on the court too. So you like, he can either play the five or he can, you know, stay in his power forward role and clean stuff up. And like you have Julian and Jamal's been staggering too. So you've got Julian and Jamal that can be ball dominant and he can help with the pick and roll, you know, like with Julian and kind of just like, he's like a,
his thumbs down yesterday.
What is that? What does that mean? What is that?
I don't know, but I love it. I was like, okay.
If you're
too.
Not a Nuggets fan, our little like second year, like that Julian Strother, now when he hits threes, he does this.
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
I don't know. I'm like thumbs down, but that was good.
Okay. I liked that. Flip it upside down.
But yeah, so it's like, of course, but it does crack me up when everyone's like, wow, like the problem of the bench is solved. I'm like, yes, because we put a starter there. Like, it's not like we got a bunch of like a new piece. No, we put Aaron Gordon there. I just like with, you know, like the year he had in the offseason with his brother passing away and then, and then to come on and be injured and then to come back and just say, that he'll come off the bench because he wants us to win. I can't, it's too much. And anyway,
you being emotional is making me cry. I literally,
I can't. I'm just
too much
so
of an empath for this.
No, literally, like I'm so thankful for Aaron Gordon. I'm so thankful he's on our team. Okay. Anyway. Oh, moving on. I wanted to share the stat though. Shout out to our friend Ryan Blackburn, who is another Nuggets media friend. He covers the Nuggets for Mile High Sports and Locked On Nuggets. But he tweeted last night, and I said, Ryan, this is the journalism we need.
We need it.
So in 12 of the last 13 years, and I was like, Caitlin, did you see it? And I sent it to her. In 12 of the last 13 years, excluding the bubble Lakers, that was the only exception in 12 of the last 13 years, NBA champion finished in the top three in EFG, so effective field goal percentage in the regular season. The only exception, like I said, was the bubble Lakers. The current top three this season are, it'll shock you, besides the first one. First one is Cleveland Cavs. Okay. My jaw didn't move. My jaw is closed. Two is New York Knicks. My jaw is a little agape. Didn't expect that one. Three is Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets are winning the national championship. Thank you. Just breeze right past that. On the doorstep, okay, coming in though, are the Bucks, Pacers, Grizzlies, Celtics. And then 11th in effective field goal percentage
is the Thunder. That's crazy to me. Genuinely crazy. And you know what? That right there, you want to know what that tells me?
The Nuggets are winning the championship.
That's how important defense. Well, that too. Oh. But I was just saying, that's how important defense is for the Thunder to be 11th with that statistic and like their shooting 100%. And everything like that, and to be the first seed.
Yeah,
and be winning and playing the way that they are. That's why they literally, you know, have five guys in the top 10 defense. So that goes to show how important defense is, but also the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets are on fire right now. And I just want to say thank you to all of our friends that have added me this week and told me I'm making them like the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic. And you just make my heart happy when you tell me those things. I crown you an honorary Nuggets fan. But the last people I did want to talk about, last team I want to talk about before we go, because we do have to go, but is the Celtics. And it's like, I want to talk about the Celtics because we have like so many Celtics friends and we've made a few more this week, but they were 8-8 in their last 16. And I think they beat the Warriors. So I think it's 9-8 in their last 17.
Of course he did. They beat everyone. Everyone saw their game against the Warriors and they were like, the Celtics are so back. And I was like, no, the Warriors are just so not back.
But what do you think is contributing that, Caitlin? Do you think it's just a little, remember when I was like, ooh, like championship/Olympic hangover? Like, do you think it's just like a little midseason, little tiredness?
We'll have to go back to this because I actually remember our conversation about this. We were talking about this and we were saying that we were talking about how they might have like this little championship hangover and everything like that, because then you also had Jason Tatum and Derek White and everything like that.
Not that Jason Tatum played in the Olympics. I know that's a soft spot. Sorry. It's too soon.
But still, you know, I mean, but you know, you still think about it and it's like he still did like all the traveling and all the working out
practicing
with them. And so, you know, although he didn't, you know, play a lot of the games, he still did like a lot of that
activity and
everything like that. And he's still like to me, he's someone, he like reminds me very much of like Kevin Durant, where, you know, Kevin Durant is always like, my mind is all basketball. All I think about is basketball. Like that's Jason Tatum to me. He's someone that like the game is his life, like besides his son. And I mean, like he even, you know, adds his son into that part of his life. Like he makes basketball truly his whole life. And so, you know, we were talking about it and I was saying that like, I felt like the Celtics were going to come out this year and like kind of just like be super impressive in the beginning of the season. And then we started talking about how like they would kind of probably hit a wall, because then you do start getting tired. And this is the part of the season where it's normal for people to get tired. That's why they have, you know, all-star break in a few weeks and everything like that, because this is the part of the season where you're like, I have played so much. I have traveled so much. We are, you know, we are 4 months in.
I miss my family.
From like
I miss
pre-season.
My bed.
From like preseason to like now, you know, we're like 4 months in and we're tired and we've, you know, been doing all this, playing all these games and traveling. And so my guess is that's how, like, that's all that's happening. Like, I think that they're going to be a team that like, they might still be a little wonky.
I think they're gonna come out of the All-Star break and go on like kind of like a run. Because even the same thing happened to the Nuggets last year. I think it was really like scary. I think we went on. It was either a 3 or 4 game losing streak directly before the All-Star break, and it was kind of like, what's going on? And then you see the teams playing. You kick it into a different gear after the All-Star break. And I do think, again, you're in like a different mode because you're not like fighting and clawing for that championship because you did win it. So I do think there is still like a little bit of a different mentality. Like when you're, again, the hunted, not the hunters.
But everyone wants to come in and beat you. You know, everyone goes into this game with the Celtics and they're like, come on, like we have to be, you know, the reigning champs and everything like that. Like everyone comes in like that. And the Celtics are like, we're just tired. Okay. We're a little sleepy. We could use a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, like, and even like Steph Curry was saying this, like Steph Curry was like, if you're the Celtics, like, and you're the Celtics fans, you should not be worried about this team. Like this team is still incredible. Like,
well, I know some people were like, oh, do you think like the Celtics have the 2 seed locked, or do you think? And I'm like, yeah, like there's no one better than the Celtics coming for the 2 seed. Like, I'm sorry to tell you. And then, so I think they're okay. I want to let all our Celtics fans know we are really sorry. Kind of, we've all been there.
I'm currently there with the Warriors. Oh, I'm currently there with the Wizards, 6-35.
Yeah.
Six wins.
Someone proposed. Someone proposed on the court last night at the Nuggets game.
Oh.
And her name was Nicole, and someone literally tweeted and said, "Oh, Nicole got a ring on the court before Embiid."
Shut up. I'm dead.
I was like,
that's funny.
Ooh, ouch.
At least someone got a ring.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, I think that the Celtics are going to be totally fine. I think you're so right. Yeah. I think they're going to come out of All-Star break and be like revitalized.
Yeah, I agree. I got to go because I have brats to pick up in about in about an hour, and I've got to edit this thing and get it out to all of you lovely people. So we love you. We thank you for being here. And again, if you skip over our intro, but stay for the end, please like, comment, and subscribe. Please don't forget to do these things. They help us help me help you. Okay. Cause Kayla and I are suffering and
so much suffering.
And yeah, we love you guys. And we hope you check out our socials down below and our merch and all the things so you can talk to us, because we love to hear from you at all times of the week.
I don't even know what to say anymore. To just go team, love us, hate us, whatever. Don't hate us, actually. And if you do, stop telling us. I don't need to know. Yeah, you can literally just skedaddle. Don't need to know.
Again,
scram.
Don't let your laptop hit you on the way out. I don't know. Like, leave us alone.
Yep, exit button.
We will talk to you guys soon. Again, if you don't follow us on our socials, that's when you know when we have a new episode coming out. So it's kind of useful.
Heck yeah.
Okay, we love you. Thank you for being here.
Love you, bye.
Thanks. Love you, miss you. Adios, everybody. Bye.